Radio 4, it's 11:30.
I'm sorry, Matt. She's gone with Chanter.
Rat Race by Dick Francis. Dramatised in four parts by Martin Reed and starring Howell Bennett as Matt Shaw. Part 4.
What the hell's the matter with you?
My timesheets, Mr. Harley. Any complaints?
Plenty. I'm taking on another pilot.
Do what you like, Mr. Harley.
Nancy and Chanter. Find a diversion. Think about the bomb, Tideman, anything. Stormed into the dingy caravan. Diversion was waiting for me.
Had a hard day at the office, dear?
I looked round. The place was spotlessly clean. Box of groceries on the table, six pack of beer, carton of cigarettes.
I said you need looking after.
Honey was wearing a skin-tight black dress. She curved in all the right places. Thought of Nancy with Chanter.
Honey, this is fantastic, thanks, but I can't pay you till next week.
I don't want money. What's eating you?
Small matter of a prosecution and a perfidious woman. And I think I've just been sacked for being too efficient. Uncle Harley's hiring another pilot.
Not another pilot, an extra pilot. We're getting more bookings than you can handle. Seems we've both got a free evening.
She slipped her arms round my neck.
I do a great massage.
I closed my eyes. Thought of Nancy being pawed by Chanter.
Sorry, honey. No deal.
She must be some lady.
She is.
There's a message for you to ring Colin Ross.
Why didn't you say so before?
Because I knew you'd be off like a shot. Sorry.
Look, honey, the groceries, the beer, I'm very grateful, but no hard feelings?
No. But it's not for the want of trying.
Hello?
Hello, Colin, it's Matt. Has Nancy phoned?
Sorry, mate. Midge is staying in all day in case she does.
What is it, then?
Matt, I've seen Major Tideman. I'm sure of it.
What? Where?
He passed me in a car travelling towards Warwick. I only got a glimpse. The driver was a big man. Glasses, moustache, I think. Tideman looked pretty scared.
Did you get the number?
Nah, too fast. Told the police. There's a nationwide hunt on.
About time.
Yeah.
Right, let's just hope they're not too late.
At Newmarket, I leant on the rails and tried to piece together the jigsaw of the Mad Major's sabotage. There was one person who knew Tideman well. Her horse had just come fifth, courtesy of Kenny's replacement, who even I could see rode a stinker. I headed for the paddock.
I've been a fool for Rupert Tideman for too long, Mr. Shaw. I was about 16 when I met him. He was a dashing young officer. And, of course, I fell hook, line and sinker. My eyes were soon opened when he borrowed money, even from my parents, for various grand schemes. Never paid it back, of course. He always was extremely plausible.
I lent him the aeroplane keys.
But then, a few months ago, he told me he'd gone into partnership with someone. Another of Rupert's cast-iron schemes for making a fortune.
And he wanted money?
Well, no. He wanted an introduction to the Duke of Wessex. Next thing I know, Rupert turns up with that corkscrew Goldenberg, and they're in charge of the Duke's racing strategy.
Why?
Well, Bobby felt he owed Rupert a favour for introducing him to his business partner.
And who's the business partner?
Well, Charles, something or other. I've never been allowed to meet him.
Pity Kenny wasn't riding for you today.
Well, my opinion of Mr. Bass rose during our little trip around the bay shepherding Nancy home. I've offered him a ride at Warwick on Saturday, now that Rupert's out of the way.
Why did you agree to Rudiment's races being fixed?
Because Joni needed one word from Rupert to the Duke, and I'd have lost the best training job in the business. It was foolish, I know. And risky. You can't guarantee your jockey will win or lose to order.
Thanks for being so frank. though I'm damned if I can see what connection Brudermans has with the Major blowing up one aircraft and crippling another.
I've ceased trying to fathom the workings of Rupert's mind. I've wasted a lifetime on it.
I'd got nowhere talking to Annie. Spent the evening watching telly. Unfunny sitcom, then the news. Interest rates, minor royalty. Then sat up with sickened attention.
Five people were killed this evening in a multiple traffic accident outside Newmarket. Those who died were the racehorse trainer Dobson Ambrose, the driver of a horse box, and three stable lads. The Australian jockey Kenny Baste is in a coma in hospital. Commenting on criticism of the stretch of road, the Transport Minister said...
I thought of poor, aggressive Ambrose, his lucky hat lying in the gutter, and Kenny's second mauling. At least he was insured. Went to bed and dreamt of rats on treadmills. Woke with a start and a wild idea in my head. It still looked good at dawn, and it had nothing to do with fixing races. I'd stopped the treadmill. The rat was caught. Next evening, smartened myself up, borrowed Honey's Mini, pointed the car towards Cambridge, drove into a gravel drive and parked in front of an enormous Georgian mansion. I was a bit puzzled as the butler led me up about 100 flights of stairs to the attic.
Come in.
Mr. Matt Shaw, Your Grace?
I stepped into a child's paradise. Laid out in the attic was the biggest model railway I'd ever seen.
Did you have a model railway, Matt?
Clockwork, sir. The spring broke.
Ah, lighting up time. Here we go.
Little lights came on all over the layout. An illusory world a million miles from the one I'd come to talk about.
Before I forget, it's Matthew's birthday next week. He'd dearly love a ride in an aeroplane.
Oh, no problem, sir. Mr. Harley will do anything for me.
Splendid. Now, what can I do for you, old chap?
I looked at his open, innocent face. Where the hell did I start?
I was talking to Miss Villers, sir, about your horse, Rudiments.
Yes, Annie was a bit annoyed I let Rupert advise me. Still, that arrangement's at an end. Can't believe it if an officer and a gentleman... Here comes the express, through the cutting.
The Duke played with his trains. I fired questions.
Did Mr. Goldenberg ever talk to you about insurance?
Eric, not that I recall. There she goes.
It had to be insurance. It had to be.
No, it was Rupert's other friend who arranged the insurance.
Which other friend?
Charles Carthy Todd.
Who's that, sir?
My partner. Ah, I say, when the goods train comes out the tunnel, raise the signal, would you?
Oh, certainly. May I ask, what's he like?
Charles, big man, spectacles, moustache. Here she comes. Signal now.
The man in the car with the Major, on their way to Warwick.
Do you know anything about him, sir? I mean, have you met his family?
No, not actually. Strictly business with Charles, and by golly, he's the mustard at that. Ah, well, that completes the timetable. Might as well close down for the night, I suppose. I sometimes wonder, who's the bigger kid, me or Matthew? What?
I had an idea.
Didn't Mr. Carthy Todd come to you with the accident fund complete?
No, it was a chance remark of Rupert's.
A chance remark of Rupert's? They'd left nothing to chance.
I stumped up the necessary cash, told Charles to plough my share of the profits back into the fund. I only want to do a bit of good, you see. And after all, I've got the stuff. Plenty you haven't.
Including Charles Carthy Todd and Rupert Tideman.
I see. I expect there was a flutter of interest in the fund after the bomb.
Flutter? Absolute deluge. Charles was surprised that such an outrage should benefit the business.
If ever there was a cold stone certainty, it was that Charles Carthy Todd was the least surprised man on earth that cash followed combustion.
Of course, a lot of our business comes by word of mouth.
The mouth belonging, of course, to A.C. Jones. the weird-looking Aussie drumming up trade at every racecourse in the country.
One thing more, sir. Did you take advice from your friends at Lloyd's or your trustees?
No, Charles drew up the papers. Gobbledygook to me, of course, but my word is my bond. Oh, my dear fellow, the evening's passing and, well, I never miss the Twilight Zone on the telly.
Do you know, sir, I'd very much like to meet Mr. Carthy Todd. He sounds a most enterprising gentleman.
Delighted. I'll give you a personal introduction at the office on Saturday. It's very near the racecourse. Conditions, though.
Anything you say, sir.
You join the fund. I'm a hard-headed businessman, do you see?
Do you want to cover this filth?
Oh, that machine. You're kidding. So where did you get to last night?
Talking to a man about taking sweets from children.
There was a message for you from Colin Ross.
Colin? What did he say?
It was something about a strike at Liverpool Art College and some character not being there. Dancer, planter, plonker. I don't know.
Chanter. And he is a plonker. He's my rival in love.
Well, stop worrying. She didn't meet him.
What? Honey, Harley, you are a great guy.
Oh, that's a compliment, is it?
Morning, Mr. Harley. Lovely day.
You haven't started yet. And that man Goldenberg has cancelled his bookings for the rest of the season. He's got abroad for his health, apparently.
Sensible move, Mr. Goldenberg, with the pace hotting up.
And there's something else. Have you seen today's Sporting Live? It's a great shame.
What is?
See for yourself.
Men, do you suffer from impotence? Yes, well, I think your doctor's better qualified than me.
Not that, a bit above.
Death of well-known racing figure.
Bit late with his bills, but I quite like the old buffer.
The body of Major Rupert Tideman was found early yesterday morning beside the main London to Bristol railway line. The police, who had wanted to interview the Major in connection with the Derrydown bomb blast, are treating the death... Excuse me, I've got to get to Warwick and quit.
Sure, first, I am not impotent, and second, you're not getting involved. Is that clear?
Oh, everything's clear, Mr. Harley. Crystal clear.
Flew to Coventry, hitched a lift to Warwick. The stakes had been raised. Tideman was dead. Carthy Todd knew the police were in the hunt. If he skipped before the Ambrose crash payout, the Duke's family code would ensure he paid every penny himself. I didn't know then there was something much more valuable at stake. The Duke of Wessex himself. Found the office. A sign said, Racegoers Accident Fund, please walk up. I walked up.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matthew.
Come in, dear fellow. I want you to meet my partner, Matt, Charles Carthy Todd.
Big man, dark hair, moustache, glasses. Two strange eyes peered at me. I'd seen those eyes before.
How do you do, Mr. Shaw?
How do you do?
Have we met someone before?
Matt was the pilot of that plane with the bomb.
Ah, an unnerving experience, I imagine.
That's why he's here, to cover himself.
Very wise. I'll fetch the forms.
I say, Uncle, may I have another sweet?
Well,
help yourself, Matthew. Finish them off.
Matthew took a piece of chocolate orange from a red and gold tin on the desk.
Here we are, Mr. Shaw. The proposal form.
Hey, don't you like the squiggly bits, huh? Gives it style, do you see?
It had to. There was no content. I signed.
I've made out my check. Here, £50.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Welcome to the fund.
Uncle, you promised lunch before the first race.
Good Lord, we'd better be off. Coming with me to the members' restaurant, Charles?
Oh, that's kind, Bobby, but there's a lot of paperwork here.
No, I insist. You don't take enough time off.
Very well. Yeah, thank you.
Before we go, I think I'll just have one more piece of chocolate orange.
The Duke, Carthy Todd and Matthew went off for salmon and strawberries. I had my hamburger and wandered over to the paddock. Annie Villers was standing alone by the rails, looking at her horse.
I'm very sorry about the Major, Miss Villers.
What an end, to be murdered.
There's no doubt, then.
Oh, apparently he was already dead when he was thrown over the railway bridge. Stabbed under the left shoulder blade, punctured his lung, choked on his blood. Oh, dear. Hi, Matt.
Ah. Hi, Annie. Ah, so, this is Summerlease, is it?
Yes. Been out twice. Second and unplaced.
Well, I'll give it a go. Can't promise anything.
You're riding her, then?
Yes, I'm depping for Kenny. How is he, do you know?
Out of his coma, but two broken legs and a dreadfully cut face. Still, he's insured. Reckons he'll collect 3,000.
If Carthy Todd doesn't get his hands on it first.
I'm very grateful, Colin. And Bob is delighted. Forgive me, I must talk to the lad.
You all right?
She must be the only person in the world upset about the Major. I got your message.
Then pin back your ears and get an update. When Nancy found Chanter was away, she was relieved. So, she called on an old college friend. A girlfriend. And went camping with her.
I thought of the last 5 dragging days. Pointless.
Feel better? Good. That teenage drama's over. Now, I've got to talk to the Duke. Come on. I believe you've met my sister, Matt.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Do excuse me, won't you? I've got to get my instructions.
Sorry.
Me too. I should have told you.
I should have checked. Lots to say.
Plenty of time. Where's Midge?
Asleep. She was up half the night drumming some sense into me.
How is she?
She's starting a new treatment today.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yes. Matt? That man with the Duke.
You noticed it too, huh? Look, Nancy, can you manoeuvre His Grace over here? I want to talk to him alone.
Surely, but why?
I'm going to make an excuse to get the keys to his office. I want to sniff around.
Not on your own, you're not.
I'll take my own risks.
Sorry, no deal. Wait here.
I told His Grace I'd left my checkbook on his desk. He handed over the key without question. Someone was going to have a word with Bobby Wessex about human nature. Maybe by the end of the day, he'd find out anyway.
Okay, now stand by the window. I'll start with the filing cabinet.
What exactly are we looking for?
Tangible proof. Ah, here, want a piece of chocolate orange?
No, it's a pretty dim, though.
Now then. If I tip it back, feel underneath, there should be a connecting rod. And open sesame.
Is there no end to your talents?
Ah. The covenants the Duke so trustingly signed. Listen to this. In the event of his death, £100,000 is automatically transferred to the fund.
How much?
Oh, it gets better. Or worse. If Bobby Wessex dies within the first 6 months of the operation, another £100,000 is guaranteed from the estate. It's the end of August. Been going 5 months. Today's the day.
Do you mean Carthy Todd, up at the races, in broad daylight? He wouldn't.
Think about it. The Major dead, the police onto it. Now or never if he wants £200,000 in Switzerland and himself in the Bahamas. Nancy, get back to the course. Make any excuse to get the Duke and Matthew away. Now, somewhere in this office is the makings of a bomb. I've got to find it.
I am not leaving you.
It's 10 to 3. The Duke's horse is in the 3 o'clock. He won't be able to excuse himself on that. Now, run!
I want to see you again. Take care!
Got to work, fast. Bottom drawer of cabinet. Bullseye. Cardboard box. Transmitters, fuse wire, batteries, plastic explosive. A radio bomb. 6 minutes to 3. Cupboard behind desk. And bingo. There he was, Mr. A.C. Jones. Crutches and white plaster cast. A.C. Jones, Carthy Todd. Confidence tricksters are the best actors in the world. 2 minutes to 3. I didn't hear him come in. shut cupboard and turned. He was framed in the doorway. The pink eyes burned.
Well, well, if it isn't our hero from the skies.
Hello, Mr. Carthy Todd. Or is it A.C. Jones?
Ha! Had a good look round, sport?
I decided not to join the fund. I came back for my check.
And a joker with it. You know, you can die laughing.
Was Major Tideman laughing when you chucked him over the bridge?
You can ask him when you see him in about 30 seconds.
His hand moved to his back trouser pocket.
Tempered steel, this. Best Sheffield.
On the mantelpiece was a marble ashtray. My hand never reached it.
Ah!
He hadn't tried to stab me with a knife, he'd thrown it. Body jerked. Head hit marble, grabbed desk. Burning pink eyes stared into mine.
Sweet dreams, you middling pilot.
Room swam. Clock 3:10. Red and gold tin. Slid to floor. Nothing. Pain. Terrible pain. Shoulder. Grabbed desk. Something missing. 3:20. Had to get to race course. Had to. Street. 200 yards. Coughed, no blood. 100 yards. Through gates, leaned on bonnet. Hand to back, blood. Car park empty, no one. Someone. Three figures running.
Matt! Oh, my God, Matt!
Nancy, here, chap, there's blood, dear chap.
Fetch an ambulance, Matt!
No, Duke's car.
Along the road, green Bentley.
Bentley, God! Nancy, the bonnet. Look.
The tin! The red and gold tin!
Stop him, Nancy. Stop Matthew.
Look, the tin of sweets.
I don't understand.
Not sweets. It's a bomb. Matthew, throw me the tin. Throw it.
What's the matter?
Matthew, old chap, throw the tin. It'll be all right.
Carthy Todd's last chance. I had to get rid of the bomb before he sent the radio signal.
Nancy, sir. Down, get down behind the car. Matthew, to save your life, throw me the tin.
All right, here.
Good boy. Ah, got it. Now.
Nah. I hurled the tin high towards the waste ground. It hung an eternity in the air. Maybe Carthy Todd wasn't around. Maybe he was fumbling the controls. The tin began to drop. Then... pandemonium. I slumped against the car.
Hang on, Matt! There's an ambulance coming!
There's Charles!
Stop that man! Stop him!
What's happening?
Carthy Todd! He's running through the car park! Oh, God! No!
Carthy Todd was heading for the only open space he could see. He leapt the rails, straight into the path of a field of three-year-olds flying to the finish.
Thank God he didn't have a chance!
Nancy.
Oh, don't die on me! Oh, please, don't die on me!
I'm not dying. I can't walk up the aisle with a corpse.
Oh, you stupid man. You lovely, foolish, stupid man.
The next time I opened my eyes, I was lying in clean white sheets, staring at white walls and wearing a white gown. For a moment, I thought Harley had committed me. Someone leaning over me.
Hi. How are you feeling?
Fine. Shoulder's a bit sore.
I'm not surprised. The knife missed your lung by a fraction.
Just as well. I've already bought the fish lice. Midge sends her love. Well, congratulations, Matt.
Yes, indeed. Bought you some bubbly to celebrate.
Congratulations.
Ah, trying to wriggle out of it. Proposing while of unsound mind?
No. Hope you like peanuts. It's all there is to live on. Sorry about the fun, sir.
Ah, well now, I've been a bit of a fool. Young Matthew sat me down and gave me a roasting. The result is
the fund will continue with a different financial structure.
Oh, that's great. Pity about Matthew's flight, sir.
I'm taking him up. but on a clear day.
And maybe in one of your own aeroplanes, Matt.
Mine? Yeah, never can repay you, old chap, but, well, Ross here and I are going into partnership.
We're backing you in an air taxi business. Directors, Mr. and Mrs. M. Shaw.
You're kidding.
It's called a happy ending, Matt. No more peanuts.
Well, I don't know what to say.
It'll take a while, of course.
Well, maybe not. There's a little company I know, ripe for takeover. But he's not having the champagne.
Slept for a couple of hours. Woke, stared at a patch of blue sky. Thought of the sourness of the last few years. Now, new wife, new life. The door opened.
Mr. Shaw, are you dying?
Hello, Mr. Harley. Sit down. Shut up.
Brought you some grapes. They're not very nice.
How's business? Booming? Ha ha.
We're inundated with bookings. Probably members of the Dangerous Sports Club.
I've got a proposal to put to you. You see, I want to get married.
Well, it's very nice of you, but me and Mrs. Harley are suited at the moment.
Not to you. The Duke of Wessex is backing me in an air taxi business. How do you fancy a partner?
Nurse? Nurse, can you come here? Quick!
I can, of course, go to Polyplanes.
Oh, you've a cruel tongue. Duke of Wessex. I like the sound of it. Harley and Shaw.
Shaw and Harley. And Honey stays.
She'll have to. She runs the place. Conditions, though.
You first.
You read air regulation. Every day.
Done.
Yours?
You get rid of that coffee machine.
You're a hard man.
It's a deal, Mr. Harley.
God help us, Mr. Shaw.
Rat Race by Dick Francis starred Howell Bennett as Matt Shaw. Helena Breck was Nancy Ross, Eric Deacon, Colin Ross, Richenda Carey, Annie Villas, and Norman Jones, Harley. Other parts were played by Timothy Bateson, Richard Derrington, Terence Edmund, Jill Schilling, Mark Straker, James Green, Ian Lindsay, Ronald Herdman, Fraser Carr, Joanna Myers, and Elizabeth Kelly. Aviation advice by Captain Mike Stowe. Rat Race, dramatized by Martin Reed, is a BBC World Service drama production, directed by David Hitchinson.